Hello and welcome to this special episode of We the People. I'm Gargi Rawat. During the extended lockdown to fight the coronavirus pandemic, there's been a lot of talk about our natural world and the healing that it's undergone with all of us being indoors. While cleaner air has been recorded and cleaner rivers have been seen in some parts, we need to use this as an opportunity to bring about real change and reduce the damage we do to the environment. Now, one of the most visible forms of damage in the last few years has been plastic pollution and the impact that it's had on our oceans. Today, along with the United Nations Environment Programme, we want to talk about ways to fight plastic pollution and phase out single-use plastic. Well, joining me on the show today, we will have Diya Mirza joining us, also Bharti Chaturvedi, Director Chintan, and someone who's campaigned against single-use plastic. We'll also be joined by Dr. Ashok Khosla, Chairman, Development Alternatives, and an expert in sustainable development, and Afroz Shah, environmental activist, and someone who's been fighting plastic pollution by keeping Mumbai's Versova beach clean. Afroz, I want to start with you because, you know, your example and this whole cleanliness campaign that you've taken out in Versova beach has really shown us how one person can make a difference and also the kind of damage we're doing to the environment. Because after weeks and months of you cleaning the beach, we actually saw turtles returning to nest on the beach. And I think that has been absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Gargi, for having me on. It's not only one man's effort, it's about a community who rises up to save the ocean and the beaches and the forest and the river and the lake. You know, we must move. Generally, I do not elaborate much on it rather than my hands and my feet and my eyes and my actions talking about it. But having said that, this is an era where, you know, you use different communication methods to talk to people up, and action is one of them. What you saw at Versova Beach was people telling that we'll use our hands and show it that it can be done. Beach cleanup is misunderstood most of the time. People think beach cleanup means clean beaches. I must inform them that it's not only about clean beaches, it's about changing mindset and habits. What we see in this world about plastic pollution is lack of implementation of circular economy, where your garbage production must go down. We cannot have a world where we keep on producing garbage and then say that, come on, somebody pick it up. So right. It has to be understood at a pre-litter stage, a litter stage, and a post-litter stage. So once people get it, each one gets it. We have 7 billion. If each one gets it, this world will see a change. Leaving it to far few and far too long, saying that one rag picker will do it, some municipality will do it, somebody in the government will do it, it's not a good sign for this planet Earth.
Right,
and certainly not for the ocean.
Afroz, a lot of young people have joined you, you know, in your campaign, and I've seen them there myself. I've visited you on the beach. A lot of celebrities have also joined in. So tell us about the sort of, you know, observations they make, because, you know, they see for themselves the kind of damage we're doing, how even despite you cleaning the beach constantly, the plastic pollution and the trash keeps getting thrown back by the ocean.
That's exactly, Gargi, what I said. Cleaning beaches is not about clean beaches. You know, I must tell you, a little girl of 8-year-old, what she told me at a cleanup, you know, when she saw plastic wrappers being thrown on the beach, these biscuit wrappers, you know, you go to a mall, pick up a wrapper, eat the biscuit and throw it. She said, sir, I'm making an effort not to buy biscuits and wrappers and going to a local bakery to buy it. Now, that's the change you're looking at. So every young person who's 7, 8, 10, 12 coming up, they look at the packaging and they tell me, sir, we'll make those changes in our life. This is about habit change and not leaving it to few to handle it.
No, absolutely.
Each one has to be taught.
Right, absolutely, Afroz, because even though India has made a commitment that we're going to phase out single-use plastic, it's by 2022, each one of us has to, you know, make that commitment to our environment, and each one of us has to bring about that behavioral change. We're also joined by Dr. Ashok Khosla, Chairman, Development Alternatives. Thank you so much for being with us, sir. Now, we're coming out of this coronavirus pandemic and the lockdown. The economy is just picking up, and as I was discussing with Afroz, India has committed to, phasing out single-use plastic. Do you now see fresh challenges to that, given the kind of impact the lockdown has had on the economy and all this talk of, you know, the job losses and you know, restarting the economy?
Well, I don't think that restarting the economy is dependent on single-use plastics. I mean, single-use plastics were no use. They were just convenient. They had a certain kind of a market when people didn't realize the kinds of side effects and collateral damage that they do. So now that we know that they're not good, we have to find substitutes. And if you want to create jobs, plastics is not the way to create jobs.
Right.
Jobs are created by many, many other things. Natural fibers can be used. There are many other ways to create new ways of packaging, of bagging, or whatever else. The way we have been approaching these issues is too much based on piecemeal, too compartmentalized. We see something that goes wrong and we try and attack it, but then something else gets even worse. So what I think we're going to worry about is creating jobs that are based on living with nature, that are not based on fossilized materials, either fuels or minerals, and are in fact part of the future because they are in line with nature. They are basically recyclable automatically, and that isn't something that plastics are very good for.
Right. Dr. Khosla, because when the government initially announced the phasing out of single-use plastic, FICCI came out with all these numbers about the, you know, extent of job loss that there would be and, you know, the kind of monetary loss that there would be to industries that are involved in this. So very important that while we're asking for them to phase it out, and we know each one of us wants to take responsibility, that we have to give them alternatives. Do you see these alternatives becoming more economical and more sustainable?
Well, first of all, we don't have to give anybody any alternative. They are in the business of making money. And if they find that there are certain things...
People who are in a position to suggest alternatives to, you know, those involved in the industry.
Indeed. What we really got to do is find ways in which their investments and their future business profits can come from things that don't destroy the environment. And there are many such things. I mean, you have to take... First of all, you've got to break down the uses that these are all put to and find alternatives for those uses. If a person is in the business of making plastics which are damaging to the environment, then it is for that business person to find other ways to transfer their capital investments and find better uses. And I think there are many ways to do this. And one that I suggested to you is, first of all, we've become far too dependent on fancy packaging. It's not necessary that you have such a large amount of material that goes into actually packing stuff that you actually want. So first, the whole concept of packaging has to be changed. Secondly, what is being used for packaging can be far better used from natural materials, which include certain kinds of plastics, bioplastics. Plastics can be made from biosources. They don't necessarily lead to plastics which are biodegradable, so you've got to do two things. One is use natural materials to make them, and then also make them in such a way that they become biodegradable. So both from the point of view of sources and from the point of view of sinks, you are not damaging the environment.
All right, we also have with us Diya Mirza. Finally, thank you so much, Diya, for being with us. And you're someone who's always come forward to, you know, talk about issues related to the environment. You've been a part of many of NDTV's campaigns. And we were just discussing earlier about how India has committed to phasing out single-use plastic. But this is something that each one of us also has to commit to. And we need a real behavioral change, which is where... you know, people like you, celebrities, come in and, you know, you can actually bring about more awareness on this issue.
Thank you for having me, Gargi. I'm very grateful that you're having this conversation. Gargi, there are three things that we need to acknowledge here. One is that Afroz became a celebrity because of the great work he did and continues to do. So it doesn't take for a celebrity to bring about behavioral change and better awareness. But as people in the public sphere, I think it's our privilege and a great opportunity to use our platform, our voice, to encourage people to know better and therefore do better. I've had the advantage of working with you, working with Afroz, working with the United Nations Environment Programme, the India Office, being a part of that fantastic campaign that we started in 2018, Beat Plastic Pollution, that actually led to that, commitment, a pledge that our Prime Minister made to make India single-use plastics free by 2022. And while we will continue to champion the need to, you know, reduce our consumption of plastics, I think it's equally necessary for all of us to collectively acknowledge the fact that unless people, government, and industry do not work together to solve the problem, we will not be able to solve it. I'd like to give the example of the fact that close to 20 states, maybe more, have committed to making their state single-use plastics free,
yes,
but have not been able to implement this on the ground because it takes for behavioral change. So the way citizens behave, how we manage our waste, how we consume, how we treat our waste, how our civic bodies are managing our waste, and how our industries being responsible about the waste that they are introducing into the world, the market.
Right. And in fact, Dr. Khosla was talking about that we've become too used to this plastic packaging. Everything we order is wrapped in plastic. And Maharashtra is one of the states that has committed to, you know, phasing out single use. They put a ban on single use plastic. How successful has it been since you are from Maharashtra and, you know, you've seen it there in Mumbai? Has it on the ground? What has it been like? Right, Diya, if you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you, Gargi. I'd love to answer that question. When the ban was implemented, we saw a big difference. But very quickly, we saw single-use plastic coming right back, especially before the elections, and nobody could do anything about it. And I think that this is a big indicator of the fact that there are lobbies at work. And we will have to do much, much more than we have done so far to overcome this challenge. Because unless and until we become resolute about implementing, and I don't know whether a ban is the best answer or best solution to the problem, but it did feel for the early part that maybe it can make a difference, and it did bring down single-use plastic waste considerably. But the plastic bag is back. And Gargi, while we're in the midst of this pandemic, we're also witnessing the fact that single-use plastics are back. There's plastic bags, plastic gloves,
right,
single-use plastic masks. So the waste that we are now generating has increased. So we do need to find ways to solve this problem. And I'm not sure whether a ban is the solution, because if it was, then it would have been successful.
Right. Dr. Khosla, what would you say to that? The fact that, you know, what Diya is saying is absolutely correct, that a lot of our plastic use has suddenly increased during this pandemic.
You know, it has. And one of the things that Diya was saying, which is that bans alone are not always very effective, is correct. You really have to figure out ways. The government has to, plus the whole system has to figure out ways in which the cost of making single-use plastics expensive. And the real costs are not being paid. The costs to the environment, the cost to natural resources, the cost
to health,
the pollution,
yes,
and health. And if you don't include those costs, then of course it's too cheap and everybody will buy it. Now, I think we have to learn how to tax the bad things, not the good things, but the bad things. And there are many taxes that we apply to people, including income tax, which is actually a tax on jobs, which are good things, instead of which we should be applying taxes to things that are causing damage to the environment, to human health, to living systems. So all of this has to be thought through very fast and very quickly. If a single-use plastic bag were to cost three times as much, they won't use it. And its real cost to society and the cost to environment is three or four times. So we've got to actually start using real costs.
All right, but this is something that, you know, politically, are we going to see done? Because it's a risk for a lot of parties. And I'll come back to you for that about that, Dr. Khosla. But we have Bharti Chaturvedi finally with us. We were having a bit of a technical issue initially. Bharti, great to have you on the show. And I'd like to start by asking you something that I asked Dr. Khosla about how, you know, going through this pandemic right now, through the lockdown, and when we're coming out of it, there's a lot of talk about and worry about the economy, about job loss, and, you know, and about starting up the economy. Do you think this is something that could become an obstacle or a challenge in our commitment to phase out single-use plastic by 2022?
Well, thank you, Gargi. Actually, I think it's an opportunity. And the reason for this is twofold. First of all, we understand that there's been a huge migration back to rural India. And I think we can actually use the skills that have gone back from the cities to create alternatives to plastics, because we do really have to invest money for a long time, create livelihoods there. There's going to be a huge rural crisis, otherwise there already is actually. So I think that is one. And there are all kinds of everyday materials and substitutes that can be made. So that's, I think, one. I think the other thing is that we really need to, and you know, I'm sure we've seen that. We worked with UNEP India, the UNEP India office. Chintan and UNEP India have done this fabulous project called Countermeasures. And we did this in four cities, and along with other partners as well, DA, Terry, ourselves. And what we found was that there are all these plastics which actually can be recycled. And what we find after COVID is, here's a huge opportunity to make them get recycled if we put the taxation correctly. For example, what you'll find is that a lot of recycling plants are scared to open up, particularly smaller ones. And we need to be able to push those incentives into them so that they can open up. And we, otherwise, all this plastic that we use will be thrown away and will enter the ecosystem. So we really have to tax manufacturers of virgin plastics, including some of the big daddies of this plastic manufacturing. And I think the third thing is really that I'm not a fan of bans, but I believe that replacing and promoting through economic measures replacements is a great way to change consumption. And therefore, I'm all for finding the replacements before we do the bans, because otherwise India is not a country that has the capacity to monitor and police and enforce bans. We just don't have the bandwidth, neither at the municipal level nor at the state pollution control level.
All right, and we were just discussing before this about bans, about how Maharashtra has banned single-use plastic, and there are many states in the country that have done it, but on the ground, the reality is something else, and that is something really worrying, isn't it, Bharti?
Of course it's worrying, and I think it proves the point that bans are not the way forward for a country like India, because we have a particularly weak regulation system and a very, very weak enforcement system. So anything that depends on a weak system to run it will fail. Therefore, let's reduce our consumption by finding those alternatives. Here's a huge opportunity. We have all these skilled people now sitting in rural India. We have to find jobs for them. Here's a whole way to move away from a petrochemical plastic economy into a more sustainable economy based on people's livelihoods and skills that are quite inherent. And I think that is the India model.
And push and more recycling, example, and upcycling when it comes to...
Well, I'm not sure that upcycling is a solution, because it only contains the plastic for a limited time. It's back in the ecosystem. Certainly, waste pickers and kabaris have to be part of the solution. There is no recycling in this country if it doesn't involve these people. In fact, even the bans, I think we should focus on those plastics which are really impossible, like acrylics. Very, very hard to recycle, very difficult. We've just had the the styrene LG leak, in Vizag. And that kind of has a huge lesson for us, because our consumption of plastics that we are seeing is also based on something very toxic, a very toxic production. And that is not the way forward for us in this post-COVID period, because we actually have to reduce our consumption, but whatever we consume has to be greener. Otherwise, you're going to invite more and more catastrophes. I mean, COVID for tampering with nature and Amphen for greening, for warming up the environment. And I think bearing that in mind and seeing that bans have been a failure in India, we have to look at a whole different and far more innovative approach. You cannot ban things and then say they failed and the public doesn't listen. Bans are not India's solutions. Alternatives, promoting them, and taxation sin taxes are the way forward.
All right, by making it more expensive, yes. And awareness, again, we come back to behavioral change. And, the figures are just frightening. Afroz, if we talk about how a truckload of plastic waste reaches the ocean every single minute, that's a frightening statistic. And also the fact that plastic is entering, the marine food chain, and then through that, it's entering our food chain as well, through microplastics that are there in the sea.
Well, of course, that's true. I mean, beer, honey, everything. And the UNEP India Countermeasures Project, they worked with NPC and a whole bunch of us. Ashok is right there, I know. And Dia has always been supportive of all of this. And what we found was that there was all these plastics that you often are told, well, plastics take a long time to degrade. But what we realized from all of us collectively realized that that's a wrong message. Because even if they degrade, they become microplastics and they still come back to your body. And I think we should therefore be looking at reducing plastics, and what you can't reduce, you recycle using the informal sector. I mean, companies like ITC are doing some interesting interventions, and so is Coke, in actually working with the informal sector so that you can fight poverty as well as create green livelihoods, as well as handle the plastic problem.
Right. And Afroz, what has your experience been in this, when people, realize the amount of plastic that's just, drowning us and coming into our food chain as well?
See, Gargi, I speak purely from working at ground level for 5 years. We should move away from general talk to specific. The narrative in this country is we put up templates saying that this is the solution, tick box, this is the solution. There's a huge gap between people who are in the governance module and people reacting to packaging at the ground level. A person in a slum in Mumbai who lives in 10 by 10 goes, buys his stuff for a particular reason. Now, what is that reason and how law should respond to it is what is the gap right now? Like, take, for example, we have what we call EPR, Extended Producer's Responsibility, a law enforced from 2016. And as a lawyer, I'll tell you, nothing has been done on it. Some paperworks are initiated left, right, center, and then you go to your beaches, your forests, your lakes, your river, everything gone. Now, is this the time for us to debate about generality, or can we be a little more specific, saying that, okay, we do this now, let's test it. If it works, let's expand it. Let's widen the scopes. So those conversations need to start at the government level, among the citizen, and among the industry. Well, and as Dia rightly said, DI has put it very succinctly, we need to work all together, and that working together, the narrative will have to be drawn
by
each one of us.
You know, as I see it, we need to bring behavioral change in the people, but it's really the government that has that, there is commitment at a certain level. If you've had the Prime Minister talk about phasing out single-use plastic, but you're saying it's also in the working of how it finally comes to the ground, and at the ground level, the way it's practically brought into place. You're saying there's a big lack.
Yes, there's a big lack on how law is responding. You see, you can make a beautiful law on paper. The law is good as your and my obedience. And then you come back on table saying, this is not working, that is not working. We can go on. We can go on arguing all our lives. But the question is, what is that specific solution for 1.5 billion people, for a huge industry, for people who are in the poverty, who need that packaging at times? Like in this pandemic time, I'm on the road with plastic packaging. What do I do? Expose myself to the virus. So all these questions will have to be answered looking at specific solutions. Otherwise, we can keep on arguing, debating what works, what don't. These are all academic discussion at the end of the day. And we'll go back home saying, wow, we did a great talk. And
all right, so that's interesting. That's at what the government and local governance level and, local authority level, that these are... Yes. Issues that we need to pressurize them on. Dia, we also need to pressurize our industries as well. Like if we talk about packaging, things that we order online, we have to put more pressure on industries to be more responsible and ensure that they phase out the single-use plastic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Absolutely. And each and every one of us, and this is where civil society, you and I and Afroz and Bharti and all of us come into play. We have to continue to question what is becoming of our waste. Why is such an excess of waste being introduced? Why is there so much, such excessive packaging in everything? There are things that do not require a certain amount of packaging but are packaged excessively. Our courier companies are, you know, then now, of course, there's going to be a lot more businesses that are going to happen online.
Right.
How are they going to become more responsible about their packaging? So that's one area. But I really want to highlight something, Gargi, which I think is very important to acknowledge. Yes, EPR, extended producer's responsibility, also needs to be implemented. Companies need to develop the consciousness, the awareness, and the conscience, really, to start working, packaging, and designing right. differently. But alongside that, I think it's very important to also appreciate the fact that there has been a significant shift in the way people have started to perceive their patterns of consumption. More people today recognize packaging and see it for the waste that it is than ever before, especially in India. And I'm talking about communities across the spectrum. Yes, we feel overwhelmed by the quantity that we produce. Yes, we wish that producers would become more responsible, civic bodies would be able to manage it better. But I think this is a big win that people, human behavior is changing. And I think India's understanding of plastic waste has improved significantly in the last 5 years.
All right, well, I'm completely out of time, Diya, but thank you so much for ending on that optimistic note, really. And I hope that's a message to everyone. Clearly, a lot more needs to be done, but we're moving in the right direction. We need to just create a lot more awareness. Thank you all for joining me today. Thank you all for watching at home. Goodbye.